Welcome in, everyone, to a Lone Wolf edition of Locked On Knicks. Alex Wolf here, coming to you solo today. Gavin was not feeling well yesterday. We were going to record after the Lakers game, and he's still not feeling too well today. So I'm going solo to bring you guys some of the latest Knicks news from these last couple games. First off, I'm going to break down the Knicks win yesterday, which is to say Sunday, 124 to 123 over the Lakers, and probably the best game of the season, one of them, definitely a contender. Then I'll break down the Knicks-Raptors game from Monday. Knicks lost 128 to 92, one of the contenders for worst game of the season. And then finally, I'll end off going all the way back to Friday, just so I can go over the Knicks watch party, which was on Friday night, went super well. The Knicks, unfortunately, did not get the memo that we were there looking for a win and lost 109-83 to the Spurs. So I'll get into the watch party a little bit, briefly get into the result of that game, despite the fact that I was not able to really fully pay attention to that one, so that the details will be a little sparse on that one. At any rate, I will get into that right when I get back to Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Knox fouled from behind, counted at one. As Fisdale pumps his fist.
Filipino. What he does is contagious.
Robinson with a catch and slam. Across the lane to Trier. Trier drives.
Becomes infectious.
Everyone, to Locked On Knicks, Lone Wolf Edition. Like I said, just me, just Alex. Hope you guys are into that. I think I do all right on these solo episodes. I'm figuring my way out. So we're going to talk. It's got a lot to unpack with this episode because we got three games. Like I said, Gavin's not feeling well. He wasn't feeling well yesterday either. We were trying to hold out so we could talk about that Lakers game together, but I got to get something out to you guys. So we'll talk a little bit about the Lakers game. I mean, the Knicks won 124 to 123. If I was ranking the wins that the Knicks have had this year, I would probably rank this one. It's got to be about top if it's not the top one. Because if you really think about it, like earlier on in the season, I guess like some of those kind of fool's goldy wins where, you know, you could maybe have talked yourself into the Knicks actually being a little better than they actually were. Sure, maybe that's, you know, one of those was your favorite, but this one had the moments, man. This one was had just all those bits of a fun game that you like to have. The Knicks had a 41-point first quarter. Dotson went crazy again in the first quarter, and I'll get to that in a minute. They had a 13-1 run to come back and win the game by one against LeBron. LeBron did play in this game because it definitely seemed like LeBron, to me, it seemed like wanted to put on a show because he always does when he's at the Garden. And instead, he just got totally destroyed down the stretch of the game. I think he missed a lot of shots in a row to end the game. I honestly didn't pull the number because I forgot. But I just remember he missed, it was something like 7 or 8 straight shots to end the game, something along those lines. And it was pretty embarrassing for him, particularly when you take into account who it was that, like, stopped him, literally, like, single-handedly, and it was Mario Hezonja, of all people. Mario Hezonja made his comeback from injury, which he had been out for, like, the better part of a month, maybe even a little over a month. And on top of everything else that he did in this game, he had the play of the game, which was LeBron was solo ISO'd on him to end the game. And went up to try to, you know, hit the game winner because the Knicks had pulled ahead by one the possession before that. Moutier had gotten fouled kind of inexplicably. Like, the Lakers didn't have a foul to give or anything, so they fouled Moutier, put him on the line down one, and Moutier hit both free throws to put the Knicks up by one. And so LeBron came down, and it just kind of had all the trappings of like a LeBron's going to beat the Knicks game, like written all over it. So LeBron marches down, ISOs against Hezonja, and is like kind of backing him down, turns around and try to do like a fadeaway, and Hezonja just like fully extends himself, gets his whole hand on the ball. It wasn't even just like a fingertip block, like blocked the shit out of LeBron. And that's the game. That was it. It was like literally at the very last possible second. And it was kind of a cool moment because he did that. And then DeAndre Jordan and Emmanuel Mudiay just came like running over and embraced him right away. And the whole team kind of piled on him. It was cool. It was a neat moment. Like, if you're going to get wins this late in a tank season, you hope it's wins like that where you look at it and you're like, wow, that was a feel-good one. I enjoyed that. That was like the Mario Hezonja game. Very, very peculiar game. But yeah, Mario like had 17 points on 4 of 8 shooting, shot 8 of 8 from the free throw line, which is, you know, great for him. He's not very efficient normally. I mean, his percentages have been pretty low across the board this year, so seeing him have an efficient, you know, 17 points on 8 shots like that, that's pretty cool for him. But like his defense, I think, was the best part of the whole thing. You know, other than just the block on LeBron, he was kind of doing all those things that are the best things that he does when he's playing defense. He was playing the passing lanes. He just seemed engaged all around. He seemed like super, super bouncy and active, which was, you know, different, you know, because sometimes, I don't know, Mario like sometimes looks a little lethargic out there. Like he looks like he's not really fully like engaged, I guess. I mean, it's kind of a motor issue, but yeah, this is like a total departure from any of those stretches that you've seen this year. Like it was nothing like that. And he also produced the best picture of the year. It actually wasn't from that final play or like the aftermath of it, but there was like this photo where LeBron's kneeling down in the foreground and like has like his head in his hand, and you can clearly see Hezonja like in like soft focus in the background, like pointing at LeBron and laughing at him, or at least like smiling. And it's a hilarious photo. If you haven't seen it, it was all over social media on Sunday. Like, just look around, you'll find it. If not, like, at me on Twitter or something. Like, I'll find it for you and send it to you. It's at the Alex Wolf. If you really need that photo and you haven't seen it, just, you know, ask me. I'll show it to you. But, yeah, so just all in all, banner game for Hezonja. It couldn't have possibly, I don't think, asked for a better return from injury for him than that. And it was just such a peculiar game for him. But Damian Dotson, I mentioned him earlier. I should probably get into him. He had 13 points on 6 of 7 shooting in just the first quarter. Really lit it up in the first quarter again. It's kind of becoming like his thing. But the good part about this one was that it didn't peter out after that. He didn't stop scoring after the first quarter, which has happened sometimes. So he wound up with 25 points total on 10 of 20 shooting. And, you know, I'm going to bring up the Raptors game in a minute, which wasn't great for him or for anyone really. So, but even if you include the Raptors game into his last 8 games for Damian Dotson, he's averaging 16.5 points on 44% shooting, 38% from 3-point, and 3 assists and 5 rebounds. And, you know, on top of the fact that he's one of the guys on the team that you can really count on to play pretty good defense night in and night out. So all in all, just it was good. Another, you know, banner game for him. And what's been really like, I mean, if you go back, I picked an 8-game sample because, I mean, honestly, because he had a couple of cruddy games in between these like 2 stretches of good play. But he had that other stretch about like 12, 13 games ago where he had like 3 straight games where he was up around or over 20 points. And it's just kind of, it's becoming more and more normal for him to score at least 15 points in a game just because he's a heady player. He finds the spots that he needs to get to and, you know, just kind of does his thing with it. So that was good. Emmanuel Mudiay, I got to bring up too. Like, I'm sure if you listen to this show, you know that I love to hate on Emmanuel Mudiay, and he's definitely not my favorite player on this team, but I'll give him props where they're due. I mean, he had 28 points on an efficient 8 of 11 shooting, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, 3 of 4 from 3-point. He technically had the game winner as well, even if it wasn't like an actual traditional game winning shot. He had the game winning shots. They were free throws, which was stupid on the Lakers' part, but, you know, whatever. More power to him for being stupid. Maybe like a tank maneuver by them. Who knows? Maybe they're trying to increase those odds now that they've essentially thrown in the white towel for the year. But yeah, it's good. You know, it was a good game for Moutier, and you know, he's had a number of pretty good games lately since he came back from injury. I guess like, or I should say like scoring efficiency wise, this one, like, I don't know. He just kind of looked good overall, which was nice to see. I think his assist total was kind of respectable too. Let me just pull that up here. In the Laker game, he had 8 assists in this game as well. So yeah, and I went back and I looked at the film for some of them, and he was actually finding guys like in good spots. Which one of my biggest gripes with Moutier is that he'll have a guy in a good spot and not find them the way that he should, which, you know, then ruins the opportunity to potentially, you know, score points there. So, yeah, it was a good game for Moutier, and I was definitely encouraged by it. My biggest thing is, like, I just can't get too excited about anything that happens with Moutier because, you know, he's a free agent after this year, and, like, a restricted free agent at that. And I just can't get excited about paying for his next contract, honestly, unless it was literally for, like, the veterans minimum or something, or something just entirely inconsequential. And he's willing to kind of just give the Knicks a discount for, you know, helping him revive his career. But yeah, that's the biggest thing with him. You know, he could have the greatest stretch to end the season, and I wouldn't be super enthused about it because he's not a guy that I want to put big money into. And that's like my biggest gripe with him. But in a vacuum, great game for him, and totally willing to acknowledge it. And then I guess the last two guys that I'll talk about are Kevin Knox first. Similar to Dotson, he had 13 points in the first quarter. He shot 5 of 6 from the floor. He finished with 19 points on 8 of 14 shooting and 3 of 5 from deep. It just seemed, for once, like the game was coming easy to him, which is good. And, you know, it's probably due to the fact that the Lakers don't play very good defense, but it is what it is. Like, you take it where you can. Definitely seemed like it could have been like a slump-breaking performance for Knox, but, you know, as we'll see when I get into the Raptors game, that's not really the case. He kind of came back to earth against the Raptors, but, you know, it is what it is. It was a good game for him, and I was happy to see it. He was rebounding well. He was, like, looking around well. You know, he was looking for teammates, which was nice to see. He only had 1 assist, but, like, I didn't feel like the ball was really sticking to him too much. He did struggle a little bit with fouls. He had 5 fouls, although that didn't stop him from playing 37 minutes. So, I mean, he's just got to kind of watch himself when he's out there fouling, because that's been kind of a recurring theme for him lately. And then DeAndre Jordan put up another phenomenal game. I'll talk about his Spurs game in a minute as well when we get to that. But he had 15 points, 17 boards, 7 assists. And it's just, I don't know, it's been kind of crazy to see how, like, relatively efficient he is running the offense for a guy who I didn't even know that was anything he was even remotely capable of. And it's become, like, this thing that Fizz is having him do, like, run the offense out of sort of the high post. But it's cool. It's a good development, I guess. I mean, he's killing it lately, and it's helped because Mitchell Robinson has kind of regressed a little bit, it seems like. Mitch didn't really get into, like, mega foul trouble in this one. I think Fizz just kind of kept playing DeAndre because DeAndre was just playing better, and there was no real denying that. But, I mean, yeah, it was Mitch had his 2 blocks. I'll save the news on that for the talking about the Raptors game because there's so little good things to say about that one. But yeah, it's just DeAndre killed it, and he's been killing it more often than not lately. So it's pretty cool. maybe he's a guy the Knicks could look into keeping next year if the price is right, but that's probably a topic for another time. At any rate, I'm going to wrap up this first segment here, wrap up this Lakers game, because it was good, and this is probably the longest I'm going to talk about anything today, so I'm glad to have gotten it done here, because the Raptors one, I don't know if I'll be able to talk more than about 5 minutes about. So we'll come back in just a minute, and I will get out those quick 5 minutes about the Raptors game when we come back. Welcome back into Locked On Knicks. I will get into Knicks-Raptors from Monday night in just a moment. But before that, did you know that you can fill out a NCAA tournament bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right, you can. At DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tournament. You might as well do it on an award-winning app that can give you lots of free prizes. For the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes on the line. Get it? 64,000, 64 teams. It all makes sense. A lot of money, though. And, you know, if you're like me, you probably think Duke is going to win the whole thing. I'm certainly hoping for it because I want to watch Zion Williamson play as much as possible. I guess also RJ Barrett, who could end up being a Knick if they pick somewhere in the 2-5 range. But mostly Zion Williamson, man. I think Duke's going to probably win the whole thing. Although I will say I'm kind of boring this year. I went all chalk. Or not all chalk, but I went all number one seeds up to the Final Four. So on my brackets. I feel like it's a strong one seed year. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I've got Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, and North Carolina in there. You could certainly set your own in DraftKings. But you know how brackets work, you know? You just, before the tip-off of the first game this Thursday, just pick the winner of every game for every round, and that's all there is to it. That's all you have to do, and you can be entered to win your share of $64,000 in prizes. The best part is you can play it for free this year with the code DRIBBLE. That's D-R-I-B-B-L-E, DRIBBLE. You can even set up a private group for you and your friends and compete for bragging rights. So, download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Use the code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. That's code DRIBBLE, D-R-I-B-B-L-E, to enter the bracket battle for free, only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right. So, getting into Knicks-Raptors. This is very important stuff, by which I mean to say I don't even want to talk about it. It was terrible. It was like the worst game of the year. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's an exaggeration because I feel like I've probably blocked out plenty of really bad games this year. But it was horrific, man. It was just so bad. The Knicks only had three players that shot 50% or better, which is just terrible. Toronto overall shot 56%. And 44% from three for the whole game. Their whole team shot that number. The Knicks, conversely, shot 33% from the field and 22% from deep. They basically looked like they did not even attempt to play in this game. Another concerning stat, although not like surprising because it's not really the Knicks' bag, Toronto had 36 assists to the Knicks 16, so that was no good. Just in general, to make like a whole other Alex pun in this one, it was just a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad game. And I say that with confidence. I guess if you're looking for positives, every available player played in the game because there was quite a bit of garbage time. So Ellinson saw the floor, Luke Kornet saw the floor, you know, everybody got a shot. Lance Thomas, you know, whatever. I guess my one positive from this game, my one positive player was Alonzo Trier. He had his first good game in a little bit, I think. You know, he had kind of struggled a few games prior, and so it was good to see him kind of get back in the flow of things. He had 22 points on 8 of 14 shooting, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, and no turnovers in this game. So that is definitely good. Seeing him with no turnovers and a few assists, Like, that's solid. I like that from Trier because he's not ever going to be like a high assist guy, but if he can minimize turnovers and at least get a few a game, then that's like really good for his development, I think. He really played like he wanted it. Everybody else just really, really, really sucked. Probably the highlight of the game. It was like a highlight and a low light, I guess. He got to make this like cool little like inbounds buzzer beater three, only because so Kadeem Allen went down with like, you know, 2 seconds left or whatever, and got called for charging, and then this is the end of the first quarter. Kadeem Allen gets called for charging, so the Raptors get the ball on the sideline, and I forget who's even supposed to be throwing the ball in for them. Maybe it was Norman Powell or something. I'm not 100%. I forget. That part's not super important. But whoever it was, like, lifted up their feet and, like, moved while they were inbounding the ball, which is a travel on the sidelines. Like, it's like basketball 101. And so the Raptors gave the ball then back to the Knicks after, like, if they hadn't called the offensive foul on Kadeem Allen when they did, the clock would have just expired. And it would have been whatever, but because they called it, they put like 1.5 seconds back on the clock. Then the Raptors traveled trying to get the ball in, so the Knicks then got it on the sideline with 1.5 seconds, and then Trier took a three and made it. So, cool play. Probably your highlight of the whole game, because it was still at least like within punching distance at that point. It very quickly got away from that, though. And then I also, there was one bucket that I just remember from Trier where he took a really nice cut and got like a backdoor pass from Lance. And that was a good one too. So, you know, two plays worth noting. And that's basically it. I mean, he obviously had some other good plays and whatever, but it wasn't, yeah, I don't know. I honestly, like, at a certain point with this game, I found it very hard to still pay attention, and I didn't really. That was my secret. I just didn't really wind up paying attention for most of the second half because the Knicks went in down by about 20 at halftime. I think it was actually 18 they were down by, and then wound up, you know, down by 30 plus at different points in the game. So yeah, and then, you know, other than Trier, I guess, I don't know. There wasn't too much more to talk about in this game. Mitchell Robinson fouled out in 14 minutes. He still had 3 blocks in 14 minutes, though, so that's cool. His 2-block streak, his consecutive run of games with at least 2 blocks, is now up to 19 straight, and he tied a Knicks rookie record set by Patrick Ewing with having a single block in 28 straight games. So a positive for Mitchell Robinson in the history department in this one, even if the rest of the game kind of sucked. And then I guess lastly, Damian Dotson was 4 of 8 for 11 points, which I guess is a positive too. And that's, I don't know, that's it. I've exhausted how much I can talk about this game, so let's just call it. So I'll come back in just a minute, and I'll talk about something good. Good attached to something bad. I'll talk about the watch party that we had on Friday and how that went, and also the terrible game that went with it. So all that coming up and more in a minute here on Locked On Knicks. All right, third and final segment of Locked On Knicks. I am Alex Wolf, going Lone Wolf today. No Gavin, he'll be back soon though. I just wasn't feeling well. But at any rate, the Knicks lost another game on Friday because I didn't, you know, just get done talking about a shitty loss on Monday night. So I won't talk too much about the loss itself on Friday. The Knicks lost 109-83 to the Spurs. The most important part though was that even though this was another one that took the cake for arguably the worst loss of the season, the Knicks put up their lowest point total of the season with that 83 spot. We did a watch party, and it was a lot of fun. So Locked On Knicks, you know, we teamed up with, well, I didn't really team up with, I was representing both, but Posting and Toasting, which is my blog on SB Nation, teamed up with Knicks Fan TV and the Nick of Time show. Teamed up with Gotham Sports Network, Knicks Film School, and the Hard Knicks Life podcast. All of us got together, put together this little watch party for everybody. It was at John Sullivan's in Midtown. It was a really good time. The venue was great. Luckily, it was air conditioned, if I may say. That was a nice thing for me personally, as a tall, you know, larger dude who sweats easily. Having like 50 some odd people in there on an unseasonably warm day, because it was like 60 degrees that day, it was pretty clutch of them to have the AC on. So that was good. That's my first positive review of the day. But then, secondly, I got to see so many people. Some people that I hadn't met before, some people that I have met previously, but I hung out with CP and Jay Ellis from Knicks Fan TV and Knick Time Show. Got to go on the Knicks Fan TV live stream for a little bit because he was broadcasting live. I still know how this dude does this. He's CP, like, this man can turn anything into a recording studio. He has like a Samsung Galaxy phone or something, and he had it just like set up on a tripod, and he's straight up like recording, like live broadcasting straight to YouTube, and it actually comes out pretty good in the middle of this crowded bar. And I was thinking to myself, like, I don't even know if I could, like, if I wanted to, like, interview people or whatever, like, I don't think I could do that and get anywhere near the sound quality and stuff he gets. This dude's like, he's got the setup, man. He's good. But so that was cool. Got to hang with those guys for a little bit. Got to hang with Jonathan Macri from Knicks Film School. JB himself wasn't able to make it, but, you know, he was there in spirit. And Macri and I drank a couple extra Guinnesses for him in honor of St. Patrick's Day weekend. So Macri was cool. Dude's a great host. That was a good time. You know, he's just like really good at, you know, working the room and making sure everybody knows what's going on, stuff like that. And it always happens when I see him at things like this that I never get to catch up with him as much as I want. So I'll get him in on a pod sometime soon. We can chat more like that again. We just did the Knicks Film School pod like last week, something like that. But I'll get him on Locked On Knicks sometime soon, and we'll chat it up a little bit. I got to hang out with Jeremy Cohen and Andrew Claudio from Gotham Sportsnet for a little bit too. I got to meet Claudio for the first time, despite I've been on his pod now twice. I told him I have to get him on Locked On Knicks. A lot of people got to get on Locked On Knicks now. So hung out with them for a little bit. Cool meeting him. We talked some Marvel movies, stuff like that. Claudio's a big cinephile, you know, likes movies, stuff like that. Talked with Jeremy for a little bit as well, who I hadn't seen in a little bit. Jeremy still looks like he's 14 years old, in case anybody's ever wondering. So yeah, and shout out to Craig and Barry from Hard Knicks Life. They really like ran the whole thing with the raffle. They went around, did a 50-50 raffle, raised like, I think it was $305 just from that, which was incredible, which was about half of the total like take that we got for Garden of Dreams for the whole night. So shout out to Barry and Craig, and in particular Barry. That dude just runs a room, man. He was going around. Yeah, he sells tickets, dude. Like he's a salesman. I can definitely tell. So shouts to them. And as I said, we raised like $600 for the Garden of Dreams Foundation in total during the meetup. So that was a lot of fun. Also got to meet Tom Piccolo in person, who previously I'd only talked to. It seemed like you guys really liked the episode. It's one of our better episodes that we've put out recently with Tom Piccolo, who came on, talked to us about like Dennis Smith Jr. and all that. He's been putting out really good work over in Knicks Film School and B-Ball Index. So it's great to meet him. He's a super nice guy. That was cool. And then my boy Zach DeLizio showed up too. So that was neat. Got to hang out with Zach. Me and Zach are like weird, like twins almost, like we're like almost the exact same height and like we're built exactly the same. It's very strange. But it was cool. It was cool to hang out with him. But most importantly, thank you to everybody that came out. You know, those of you that came because you heard about it on Locked On Knicks, I really appreciate it. It was neat. I feel like my tallness got commented on at least like 8 or 9 times. Everybody, I guess, thought I was shorter based off, like, you guys obviously don't see me, but I do go on Knicks Fan TV sometimes, and, you know, I'm always seated there, so everybody's like, oh my god, I didn't think you would be that tall. That's so weird. But yeah, it was a great time. I had a really good time, and I hope we do it again soon. It might not even just wait till next season. Maybe we'll try to get something for the draft or something. No promises, but we'll see what happens. But as far as the game itself, I'll be completely honest. I'm just going to kind of read out some statistical performances real quick, because between walking around, talking to people, stuff like that, didn't really get a chance to observe like individual stuff going on in the game nearly as much as I would want to. But DeAndre Jordan came as close to a triple-double as he's come as a Knick. He had 11 points, 13 boards, 9 assists on 5 of 7 shooting. Damian Dotson continued his hot play. Or, well, I guess at that point, it was still continuing. He's been hot for like better part of like a week and a half, 2 weeks now. He had 21 points, 3 of 6 from 3, 9 of 19 overall. Kadeem Allen had a hell of a callback game because he got recalled due to depth issues because Smith and Ntilikina were both out. He had 16 points on 7 of 10 shooting. And Mitch struggled a little bit. He actually played decent minutes. His total minute count for the night was 20 minutes, 20 and a half minutes. But he didn't hit a shot, and he went 2 of 4 from the free throw line, so he only scored 2 points. But he still got the 2 blocks. He had 10 boards as well. I mean, he was kind of wiggle-worming his way in there for some rebounds. But, you know, just a game where he kind of struggled to get the offense going. And the Knicks in general just kind of struggled to get the offense going. I mean, other than Dotson and Allen, and I guess Jordan also, there wasn't really a single guy that you could point to and say, like, that guy really had a good game on offense. You know, it's just kind of one of those deals. So, unfortunate, and it was a loss, and that's about the extent to which I can comment on it, because at a certain point, we asked them to turn on Duke on one of the TVs, too, and we were watching Duke, North Carolina. And quite frankly, it's kind of hard to focus on the Knicks when you're looking at a guy that you like really want to be on the Knicks instead, who's like potentially a transcendent, like generational prospect. So, yeah, that's that. Anyway, all right, I'm ready to wrap up. I'm done. I'm finished. This has been a good Lone Wolf episode. I went longer than I thought I was going to go. And hopefully I didn't bore you guys to tears. If you guys didn't come out to the meetup this time again, we're going to hopefully do one again soon. So this will be my last promotion of that until we actually announce something. But just, you know, keep it in mind. It was a really great time, and I really hope to see some of you guys there for future ones. Yeah, that's it for today. I hope you guys enjoy your Tuesday. I'll hopefully be back with Gavin soon. We're going to have a special guest, I think for tomorrow's pod, for Wednesday's pod. So keep an ear out for that. There will be a special guest and a special guest announcement with that. And other than that, stay safe. Have a good day. Enjoy your work day or whatever. And I'll talk to you guys soon.